Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 26. I don't know what I'm doing with my hands. I feel like I'm doing some sort of presidential speech.
You look like you're directing air flight traffic.
Yeah. What is that about? Tom, how are you?
I'm great. I'm clearly not as good as you.
No, I don't know what's going on.
You look like you're auditioning for Die Hard 2.
I must have gotten a lot of sleep last night. Don't know how, because I've been watching a lot of stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, and a lot of news as well this week.
So much news.
We've got a lot to get through. So we're going to sort of do a rapid fire episode, I think, just so that we're not spending hours.
Yeah. Because we easily could. There's that much news this week.
Oh, my gosh. So easily. First off, there was an article that explained what happened in the world of American television this week. Yep. Every show has been cancelled.
So much gone.
Oh, my gosh. What was going on? Of course, the first one I heard about was Brooklyn Nine. I was going to say 999 then for a second. I'm like, wrong country. So that was cancelled.
Yep.
And then got picked up by NBC in the space of a day or two.
Yeah. Look, the show was already produced by NBC, or technically Universal. And so they'll actually make more money from showing it on their own network than selling it to Fox.
How is that a deal in the first place, I wonder?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
It doesn't bother us because we've got the show. A lot of fans are really happy about it.
Yeah, and look, I imagine they're probably going to try and pair it up with Good Place because it's another Michael Shore show, and he's got another show called Abby's coming as well.
Oh, great.
So they're going to have, like, I think they're trying to return to the old NBC Thursday night comedy block.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of NBC, I did see that they had gotten rid of a couple of shows. One that was... I had not seen or heard of it, but was Great News, produced by Tina Fey.
Yeah, it's really good.
Apparently that's gone.
Yeah, it took a while in the first season to ramp up, but once it hit its stride, it felt kind of like a slightly more cheery 30 Rock.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if I want to watch it, I don't have a lot to watch.
That's right.
What else have you noticed that a lot of people are upset about?
A few ones that I watch. So obviously Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Mick and Last Man on Earth all went. So that's Fox's entire comedy line.
Jeez.
Smashed in a night. They've also got rid of Designated Survivor, which we've talked about before, Keith's show.
I don't think many people are going to be too upset.
Nah, look, I watched the first season. I didn't quite make it to the end. Mm. I didn't watch any of the second season.
Yeah.
I guess this frees Kiefer up because Fox have also confirmed that they're going to do another Prison Break and 24 miniseries.
Right.
So potentially he may come back.
Makes sense.
Actually looking at a bunch of different 24 storylines. There's meant to be one that may involve a female lawyer who is working on a conspiracy case and she has 24 hours to stop bombs going off.
See, I like this. And this is what you were talking about in Fear the Walking Dead. Wouldn't it have been great if each episode, or maybe even each couple of episodes, you would have a completely different storyline?
Yeah, make it an anthology series.
Yeah, that's right. And I think 24 lends itself to that as well.
I think it's a high enough concept. Following the someone for 24 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all inclusive, one story.
They also got rid of three shows that had started this season that I've been enjoying. Alex Inc., which
I've
is Zach Braff's podcast show.
That's right.
I was pretty gutted about that because that started to hit its stride. The Crossing, which was the Lost-ish show, which I think we're on episode 7 now or something like that.
You were really pumped for that one as well.
Yeah, it's not as good as I hoped, but I can see why they pulled the plug, but that's what happens to genre television on the major networks.
Yeah.
They don't give it enough time.
No, unfortunately.
They also got rid of Deception, which was the show about the magician helping out the cops.
They're sort of FBI crime sort of show.
Yeah, which
right.
I was kind of digging.
All cops.
Just so much stuff. It's also been... With behind-the-scenes stuff, upfronts are happening this week, which is where all the networks present their shows for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, we found out that LA Finest, which was the show I told you about with Gabrielle Union and Jessica Alba, has not been picked up.
Oh, really? That one sounded like a show that would have had legs for free-to-air television.
Yeah, and the more I dug into it, like Gabrielle Union, her character was in Bad Boys 2, so it would have actually continued in that universe.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so
damn.
I imagine it was going to be a very expensive show to produce.
Okay, maybe that was the reason behind it.
Yeah.
I saw that Lucifer has been kicked in a lot of people on Twitter and not happy.
Mm-hmm.
They're hoping that it gets picked up by someone.
I'd say there's a chance.
It's been around for a while. I can't think of how many seasons now. Yeah, so it's sort of, it's got its storyline going.
I could see the CW swooping in and adding it to their superhero DC lineup.
Look, speaking of superhero, I saw that Inhumans, which was a Marvel, I think.
It was really bad.
Right. What sort of show was it?
So it was a mid-season replacement show. There were only 8 episodes.
Okay.
And it's about a royal family who lives on the dark side of the moon that have powers and stuff, and there's a revolt that happens and some of them get thrown into Hawaii and have to try and find their way out. And it was just so bad because these are supposed to be some of the most powerful characters in the Marvel Universe.
And they're stuck in Honolulu.
Yep.
I saw that Taken.
Yep.
Without Liam Neeson has been taken off.
2 seasons.
No good at all. What else did you see got given the axe?
Well, look, I saw S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gotham have both been picked up for a shortened season.
Yeah, right.
And that's very strange because both of them felt like they had, you know, they've both got 1 episode left this season.
Mm.
And both shows had clearly been writing as if this would be the season finale, like for everything.
Oh, no. Now what do the writers do? Scramble.
Well, I imagine S.H.I.E.L.D., they haven't tied in with the movies in a while, the Marvel movies.
Okay.
But there have been a few hints over the last couple of episodes of things happening in New York and seeing destruction and damage. And the last episode, we saw the after effects of Thanos and his crew arriving in New York but hadn't hit Wakanda yet.
Okay.
So there's a very good chance that the end of this season is going to end with some dusting, shall we say.
Yeah.
And if the show wasn't coming back, then that made sense because it could just tie back into the movies. But if the show is coming back, they've announced it probably won't come back until mid-year next year.
Okay.
So it'll be a little while until it does come back.
I wonder if that's to tie into the next movie so it doesn't spoil.
I very much think so. Otherwise, it's just going to be a TV, like a Marvel version of The Leftovers, which was, I don't know if you caught any of that show.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, people disappearing. And similarly with Gotham. Gotham has ramped up to, I mean, it's already an insane show, but it has gone absolutely bonkers over the last few episodes. The guy that we thought was the Joker turned out to have a twin.
It sounds like
one of them died. The other
daytime
twin,
soapy.
Yeah, the other twin has now taken over. The Riddler is deeply in love with Jim Gordon's ex-girlfriend.
It was always going to happen.
Oh, so much convoluted mess. There's a lot of whispers going that NBC is secretly bringing back The Office.
How many years has that been gone?
I think it's been off for 5, maybe 6 years.
Not a long time.
Yeah. So not with Michael Scott, not with Steve Carell's character.
Yeah, but he wasn't sort of around.
No, he'd been gone the last few seasons and Andy Dwyer had stepped in. I think that we might get a few of the background characters back in again.
Okay.
You know, a lot of the smaller cast members have put their hand up to say that they'd love to come back and be involved again. And I imagine that they can just pick up the storyline, the same office, few years later, staff have moved on.
Slightly different staff. The environment would still be completely watchable.
Yeah, that's the beauty of that setup of the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice podcast. They make them for men.
Now, I did see a bit of a change up with a show that I know that you like, Lethal Weapon.
Oh, now we need to talk about this.
This is every time I look into this story, there's more to it.
Yeah. So this is a really difficult situation. So the guy's name is Clayne Crawford.
Yep.
And he's very much the star of Lethal Weapon, even though it's him and Damon Wayans playing Murtaugh. So he has been fired from the show for on-set behavior. And I've read a lot of different articles and hot takes and stuff on the situation of what has happened. So, yeah, he's been fired for on-set behaviour. And digging into it a little bit more, there's been some blow-ups that he's had with a couple of other staff members.
So he's throwing some tanties.
Well, a little bit of that. And there was one episode that he directed and someone got slightly hurt, as in they do a lot of action on the show and there must have been an explosion or something and someone got caught by a bit of shrapnel. And
right.
I'm pretty sure that was Damon Wayans.
Yes, now that context I understand because I did see Damon Wayans' tweets.
Yes.
And there was a thing about shrapnel and I just thought it was sort of verbal shrapnel. That's what I was getting, but now I understand.
So
he's
kicked up a fuss and said that it's an unsafe environment and doesn't enjoy working with him.
Okay.
On the other side, this guy, I really feel for him because he's on a show where everyone else is doing yuck-yucks and laughing it up and having fun and being action adventure.
Mm.
And this guy's character is a suicidal cop who's constantly throwing himself in dangerous situations in order to try and die so he can be with his murdered wife.
Wow. So his whole character approach is completely different.
He's in a hardcore drama. Everyone else is in a slapstick comedy. So I can understand why the attitude and the mindset he would need to bring to work might butt heads with others.
Yeah.
So when there's that bit of context, you can understand a bit more. And he's been incredibly gracious and everything on social media with what he said over the last few days. He congratulated the rest of the cast for being picked up for another season. Mm. Now, there's been a lot of talk behind the scenes as to whether or not the show would continue, because he is clearly the star.
He's the main character.
And it is built around him. To get rid of him is a big deal. However...
So I guess now we get to the point where we're entering Stifler.
Yes. So Sean William Scott.
Yeah.
Sean William Scott has been added. They haven't said yet, but he may be playing Riggs's brother.
Because you can't... These kind of shows are not the ones... We were talking about daytime soapies just before... They're not the kind of shows where you can say, and this character is now being played by.
That's right.
It doesn't work.
It's not going to work just as a recasting. It's also really awkward trying to do a brother because, and no spoilers here, the last two episodes of season two actually brought in an unknown brother of Rick's.
Oh, okay.
So they kind of already played that card, like the last two episodes. But again, without giving things away, the writers clearly didn't want him on the show anymore because season two ends with him shot.
Okay, right. So season three is going to be remarkably different.
I think so. Like I'm confused as to where it goes because Murtaugh just got promoted to be captain.
Okay.
So he wasn't paired up with the other detective anymore.
Right.
So they were already doing big shakeups behind the scenes.
Yeah, okay.
And to leave it that way, you know, they could have left the show and not come back for another season and it showed where the characters were going from here.
Yeah.
But it's just it feels icky watching Dirty Laundry being aired so publicly.
And that's a shame because I know for you that you were really enjoying it and to have – it'd be a blemish really on the show
for
you.
I hadn't watched the last episode yet and knowing the behind-the-scenes stuff just made you go, oh, wow, they've really made it clear to this guy that he's not welcome.
Damn.
Yeah, and the dude's an amazing actor. He embodies this character and makes you feel –
Do you think because of his graciousness in the exiting of him from the show, that might work in his favour for picking up other work?
I think so.
He may succeed elsewhere.
He used to be on a show called Rectifier, which was far more drama-focused and stuff like that. I think he will land on his feet somewhere else with a show built around him. Mm. The Wayans are known to be very big personalities, all of them, Marlon Wayans and the other guys. So I can imagine that there'd be a bit of butting heads in terms of I came on the show as the biggest star and yet he has become
the main character.
Yeah, he has become the breakout.
So Sean William Scott will not be playing a incredibly dramatic role, I wouldn't think.
I think he'll be playing an unhinged cop.
Okay.
Which is...
That'd work for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't
know. Would it work for the show?
Yeah. Okay. I definitely think... Hey, look, there's a film that Stifler did... I can't remember how long ago, 10 years ago maybe, called The Goon.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays a professional ice hockey hitman. A guy whose job it is to fight and to try and break other people's bones on the ice.
Yeah, right.
And he brings a lot of drama and gravitas to the role, and it's really great. And they've done a second film of that, that gives me a lot of hope that he's going to bring some cool character work to this.
That could be where they've gotten the idea of approaching him.
I really, from the sound of things, he may have been about 50 or 60th on the list of people they called.
Okay. In fact, I have a text message I never replied to from someone called Lethal Weapon Boss Man. Maybe I was...
Oh, I got that text as well. I just replied, I'm too old for this shit.
Fair enough.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, just getting slightly off topic, but I've filed this under I had no idea, have I been living in a box folder?
Okay.
So Kirsten Dunst and Jesse Plemons, now they played the butcher and his wife, a.k.a. Ed and Peggy, in Fargo season two.
Sure.
They've had a baby together in real life.
There you go.
They've been together I assume, since they filmed that show. They named the boy Ennis Howard Plemons, so not too crazy a name. Ennis, I know, is not particularly a popular name. I suspect it's probably a family name.
I think it's quite popular down south.
Oh, yeah. Good, Ennis. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Wasn't there someone, what was that family that got rich with the oil and came to the city?
Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, wouldn't Enos?
I think it was, yes. Oh, that's good. So Kirsten Dunst and Jesse.
Well done.
One other thing I saw was a review on Variety's website. Andrew Barker did a review on Solo, I mean.
Sure.
And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he seemed to think, despite all, you know, the dramas of the backstage, you know, changing mm-hmm. people around, Ron Howard coming in, he said it's a pretty damn good movie. He was pretty impressed with it, to be honest with you. So Andrew Barker wrote, though burdened with a slow start and enough thirsty fan service to power Comic-Cons for a couple of decades, he said it's got a kicky, kinetic heist movie feeling to it, and the action sequences are really quite good.
Cool.
So everything you want in a Star Wars movie,
yeah,
I would
nice.
Say. So that's nice. That's sort of one of the first reviews that I've seen
sure.
about it. Of course, it's not out yet.
No, it comes out next week, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll go see it. I'm not there. I don't think I'll be there opening day.
No, it'll be one sort of to catch on Saturday night or maybe Sunday afternoon yeah. kind of thing. And you'll leave with a smile on your face, I think.
Pretty sure I said it when we did Last Jedi?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with Star Wars.
Yeah, you're just going to kind of watch it just, yeah.
Yeah, my enthusiasm has waned.
Yeah.
Except today, Deadpool 2 is out.
Oh, yes, finally.
I'm so excited.
I have been enjoying the whole promo.
So the first promo, the promo for the first film won them so many awards.
It was so clever.
It was so clever.
Yeah.
And it feels like they've up their ante on this one. You've had the first music video and single release from Celine Dion in years.
Yeah.
And she's done the song for the film. Ryan Reynolds went on a Korean singing game show yesterday dressed as a sparkly unicorn, like with a mask on. It wasn't until he was finished that he got to take the mask off. There's a promo video with Manchester United, another one with David Beckham.
Oh, yeah.
Such oddball
stuff. That's
so
cool.
So clever. Really been enjoying it.
So let's hope that the actual movie stands up now.
Well, the reviews that have come out, a lot of people that I trust have said somehow it's better than the first.
Wow. That's great.
They fixed a few of the issues and
okay,
stuff.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, very exciting.
From stuff that I reckon is pretty cool.
Yes.
So I enjoy following Dwayne The Rock Johnson on social media. He's very good at updating with people what he's up to.
Yeah, cool.
For the next 8 months, he's in Hawaii. He loves to film in Hawaii. He does a lot of stuff. You know, he's in there for Jumanji last year.
Does he live there?
Well, no,
he might
but
as well.
No, but he has a lot of family. You know, he's Samoan, so
yeah.
He has a lot of family from that region and this sort of stuff. But yeah, he posted a video saying that he's expecting to be in Hawaii for the next 8 months because he's filming two films back to back. One, The Jungle Cruise. So this is Disney's attempt to, in the same way they did Pirates of the Caribbean, based on a ride turned into a film franchise. This is based on their Jungle Cruise ride.
Okay.
Which is, for my money, one of the best rides in the world.
Is it really fun?
No, but it's so simple and it's very quaint. But the you get in a boat, a tour guide takes you around various rivers of the world, you see animals in crazy situations. It's the tour guides because they make really bad jokes throughout.
Brilliant.
Like they hate their job quite clearly. I don't know if they'll take that angle for this film. I doubt it. I think it's going to be like a 1930s Indiana Jones style adventure.
That's fun. People like that genre.
But with the Rock and I think Emily Blunt, I think, is his co-star.
Emily Blunt's always good.
Yeah, she does
like
a great job. And then following that, they're going to finally shoot Hobbs and Shaw, which is the spin-off from the Fast and the Furious franchise, starring him and Jason Statham.
Okay. But so in Hawaii. Have they done any Fast and Furious in Hawaii?
I don't think so.
Oh, great.
So I imagine they'll film most like parts of it there and then go and film elsewhere and stuff. There's very good tax breaks in Hawaii.
Yeah, right.
And it's, you know, wonderful atmosphere. And they've got a lot of people there that are used to doing a lot of film work and stuff like this. The part that was so cool about all this is that he was announcing that he'd arrived and stuff, but he was showing everyone around his traveling gym.
Oh, right.
He basically bought an old circus tent. That's what it looks like. And he has a gym that goes with him on the road.
That's insane.
And because he's going to be there for 8 months, he set everything up. It's awesome.
I bet it is.
So if you want a good look, go and check out his
Instagram
or Facebook, and there's videos walking around.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I'll be watching that. What? Any other news?
So I think we need to talk about Walking Dead.
Yeah, so we're not going to talk about Fear the Walking Dead is in the episode until after the spoilers little, what would you call it, music thing. But we've got some actual Walking Dead news.
Yeah, so I've forgotten what it's called, but Lauren Cohen, who plays Maggie.
Yes.
We've talked in the past about she going out for pilot season.
Mm.
She's the show she stars in has been picked up.
What does that mean for Maggie?
From what I understand, the piece together, she has a 6-episode contract with Walking Dead for the first 6 episodes of this half season.
Okay, yeah, because there's 8.5 season.
Yeah, and I imagine they've already started production.
They have. I've seen some behind the scene grainy footage. Yes.
So she's only signed for that long, and past there is a per episode contract deal. So she could be brought back where needed.
Yeah.
But if this, you know, this other show is going to series, she's going to be pretty tied up on that.
That's going to really impact the story greatly, I think, in The Walking Dead, because then suddenly whenever there's a Hilltop scene or storyline, how can you not have the leader of Hilltop in
it? That's right.
Interesting.
So perhaps we'll see that little bit of dark turn we saw from Maggie coming of being angry. Perhaps that will come to the forefront a lot earlier than we expected.
It might have to. Yeah, interesting. I did see, I think I may even mention it last week, that Rick has got short hair now.
Yep. Which just time jumps happening.
Yeah, ties in with the comics perfectly. So should be interesting. Like we said, Fear the Walking Dead chat a little bit later on
in
the episode.
Look, if you're clamoring for more Walking Dead, I know we've talked about Drop the Mic a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This week they had a Walking Dead head-to-head.
No way. Who?
Chandler.
Yes.
Who, of course, was young Carl.
Yep.
And Chad L. Coleman, who was Tyrese.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so was it great?
Well, Tyrese raps like he's from the 80s, which was great. Even very better. Appropriate.
So
you know,
good.
It was very early Run DMC. And so I'm going to say this to you, step back or I will bust your whole crew.
Similar to how Jerry Springer did it.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot like that. And Chandler was very, very white.
Okay.
Awkward young boy.
Wow. Okay. So if you, don't give it away as to who won, but who got your vote?
It differed round for round because they get 3 rounds. First one was clearly Chandler.
Uh-huh.
Second one was Coleman. And then the third one I felt like was probably Chandler.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Chandler anyway, the first one as well was Darren Criss versus, his name, Gaten from Stranger Things?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is it Dustin? Is that
Dustin.
Yeah, curly haired.
Yeah.
Guy. Yeah.
He's fun.
He killed it.
Really?
Oh, boy. Well, he used to be on Broadway. He was in Oliver for years and this sort of stuff.
He was too.
And you could see this. Like, and same as Darren Criss, they both know how to have a fantastic stage presence.
Yeah.
Theirs was brilliant.
Unbelievable.
Because he's starred in some of Darren Criss's videos and this sort of stuff.
Right.
So they have a previous relationship and friendship. And they went in hard on one another. It was awkward to watch.
The way only people who are quite friendly with each other can actually can get away with. This show seems to be picking up amazing acts, talents.
Yeah.
Personalities each week.
Between that and Snoop Dogg's The Joker's Wild.
Yes.
They're both on Sunday night together. That was a celebrity edition this week. He had Wiz Khalifa and Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, wow.
And everyone on that stage was very stoned. She wore sunglasses.
Just because she couldn't.
Well, it started and you could see that she was uncomfortable, so she put the sunglasses on and seemed to relax a lot.
Amazing. Oh, that's so good.
We are the Watchers. Now, the voice cracked. Hi, I'm the voiceover guy, and I've had enough. Toodaloo.
I decided to check in on Roseanne because I remember that you'd seen the first episode, but having not watched too much of the series leading up to this return, I thought, I'll watch it. So I watched a couple of episodes, and it really does still feel exactly like Roseanne. They pretty much, the humour picks up where the older series left off. And interestingly enough, yesterday I was just flicking through the channels and I saw that an older season was on. I think it was season 7.
Sure.
Which was around the time where Darlene was in college.
Okay.
So you had David there. He was a part of it. And that allowed me to really notice that they've still got the exact same feeling to the show, and it's the set is almost flawlessly put back together. It's ridiculous how they've been able to do it.
Nice.
But yeah, if you haven't watched the new episodes of Roseanne but remember fondly of the old ones, just watch them. They're on television.
I'd say go for that unless you're quite left-wing.
I
was reading an article that they did with writers of the show, both present and past.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few writers that used to write on the show that are back on it now and love it.
Mm.
And there's a few writers that weren't invited back who feel like they've flipped Rose, that love everything on the show apart from what they've done to Roseanne's character herself.
Yeah, right.
And that's all just from her.
Because there were a lot of cornerstone episodes in the original seasons, I should say, where, you know, they were tackling things that...
Yeah, and she had very progressive views
at
the time.
Yeah, she did.
So, they put it... What's Laurie Metcalf? What's her character's name?
Jackie.
They've put a lot of that more on Jackie.
Yeah.
Which is, different.
Jackie's an amazing character, though.
Yeah.
I've always thought she was great. I decided to check out a show pretty much the whole season is on ABC iView called Harrow. It's Australian.
Sure.
And it's a pathologist sort of tackling murder mysteries. And it's a little light. The characters are a little, how would you say it, cookie cutter?
Okay.
A bit.
Oh.
And there was a bit at the end where a decision was made by the main character, and I went, that's a bit of a light decision there that, you know, obviously wants this storyline to continue. And then the last 30 seconds flipped it so incredibly, like, not even 360, they did like a 720, and I went, oh, what? Wow, this has got me interested now.
Okay.
Yeah, so I assume that the tone of the show will continue, but there's this super dark element to it now that you're like, what?
Okay.
Please explain.
That's an interesting hook.
That's all on iView if you want to check it out. One more thing before the rest of my stuff is all in the spoiler section.
Okay.
But I've been playing a game called Stardew Valley.
Yes.
I think it's on PC, it's on Switch, it's on PlayStation. I assume it's on Xbox as well. I bought it for, I think it was about $11. And it's basically a farm simulator. It's made to look like it's from the late 80s, early 90s. It's got that real sort of feel to it. And you're basically just building up a farm, tending to your crops and your animals.
Lovely.
Making deals and relationships with other people in the valley, in the little town. You can sink a few hours into that.
Sure.
And just go, oh, I've got a lot of other chores in real life I should be doing, but apparently the ones in this game are far more enjoyable.
Oh, that corn's not going to water itself.
It certainly won't. I had to do a lot of corn watering. A lot of fun. If you just want something super chill and relaxing and calming, check out this game.
Sure.
It's been around for a while. One guy, basically, has made it. So it's taken him a while to, I guess, port it to different... consoles and whatnot, but if you want something that everybody's going to like, it's going to be good for kids and adults, either a family or just by yourself, play it. $11, why not?
Nice, that's very affordable. Hey, you want to know something that's not for everybody, but I've been enjoying?
What?
Have you seen the video for Childish Gambino's new song, This
Is
America?
Yes.
Man, that's a bit confronting, isn't it?
It really is. I keep getting the song stuck in my head as well.
That's a great song.
It's a really catchy song.
Yeah, someone's done a mashup of that and Call Me Maybe. It's unsettling.
Definitely going to have to watch that.
Yeah, it's mainly the music from Call Me Maybe, but overlaid on the video. And so it's all the quiet bit. And when they're, bang, I just met you. That's all the gunshots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
Very interesting take from him. He's going to have a big couple of weeks with Solo coming out.
He's playing
Lando.
Absolutely.
And Atlanta season 2 going strong.
Guy's ridiculously...
He's quite busy. Very talented.
Talented, but popular and busy. And it's good to see somebody that talented get success.
Hell yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
On that level.
Hey, I've got a show for the bin.
Yeah, go on.
You know... Oh, I just... gestured so dramatically at the bin that I smacked my headphones
yeah,
off.
That you almost threw them out as well. So bin worthy.
Yeah, I downloaded a show based on the name.
Okay. Never a good sign.
I was like, that's a clever pun. It's called Lawn and Order.
Lawn and Order. Now, okay, just based on the name, I'm going to assume it's Great Lawns Across America.
It's a couple that restore lawns and front gardens for people about to sell their homes so they can increase their... It was so bad. I don't know why. I thought it would be good.
Specific.
Because I watch Pool Kings and I watch, Backyard Treehouse Masters.
But they're good. Yeah, just Treehouse.
Yeah. I thought lawns, that could be interesting. No,
it was really boring?
It was drier than watching paint dry.
Than watching grass grow.
Yeah. So they've had a go and I appreciate that and I'm sure some people will be interested, but that was not for me.
What was it called again?
Lawn and Order.
Such a good name.
That was a great pun.
It's ruined.
Running with Bear Grylls is back.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So...
Have you ever seen that one before? This is his celebrity challenge one.
I've seen a couple. I remember there was there a Courtney Cox one?
I think so. There was Stephen Fry.
I haven't seen the Stephen Fry one.
A lot of tears.
Really?
Lots of emotion.
He's an interesting guy,
though. He is, and he clearly deals with some stuff by exertion, getting himself out there and pushing
him. Yeah, right.
Learns a bit about himself. This week, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
He'd be great.
He was so charming.
I like him.
And they opened up. He's another guy that's incredibly driven and doing lots of things and stuff. Mm. And, you know, over the course of the 2 days that they film or whatever, Bear Grylls in there and peels off some layers and gets him to open up and talk about what happened with his brother who died. This sort of stuff. And you actually understand a lot of the motivation for why, as a guy, he doesn't like to stay still.
Interesting.
Also, Bear makes him milk a camel. That's a wild camel.
Not a sentence I thought you were going to say. Because in my head I've been, I think it was a Kate Winslet episode, and she was sort of, they were in a rainy sort of hilly area off a shore. So when you threw a camel in there, that completely destroyed.
Yeah, this one was in Kenya.
Okay.
They went proper in Kenya. It was, you know, this is the season premiere, and Joseph basically,
gotta go big.
He said, I want you to try and break me.
Wow.
You know, I know you do some with others that are a little more safe. Yeah. I want you to try and destroy me. So
and?
One, well, they milk a camel and have to drink it. And you know, Bear is very quick to point out that that salt taste that you taste isn't actually the milk. It's the years and years of caked sweat around the udder from the camel.
Utterly disgusting.
Yeah. Then they find... in the middle of a ravine that they have to rappel down. And Joseph's never done any abseiling or anything that, so he deals with some stuff there. They get to the bottom and there's a rock pool and there's a rotting ox next to the pool. And Bear's not sure, but he thinks something might be up the water, so he smacks it with a stick a few times and a giant croc jumps out. And Joseph has to distract the croc while Bear steals the rotting head from the ox. And then they cut the tongue out because the tongue hadn't been touched by maggots.
Far out.
And then cook it up, and it turns out to be pretty tasty.
What?
Yeah.
This is a hardcore show.
Yeah, so it's kind of like watching the best parts of old Bear Grylls, but with celebrities in there opening up about themselves and being forced to do some really disgusting kit.
There's nothing in there that doesn't make great television.
No.
It all sounds...
Yeah, it's really,
solid.
Really interesting stuff. I haven't watched it yet, but this week's episode is Kerry Russell.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll give Felicity a
call. Felicity, exactly.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her in something for a while, but
she's
know
in
she's...
The Americans.
Ah, that's why. Yeah, I didn't start that.
You need to start from the beginning with
really?
That. It's not a jump in anywhere
okay.
show.
All right.
It's a long running.
I'll put that on my list then. What else have you been watching?
Colony is back, which I've mentioned before.
Yep.
Really enjoying where this is. I mentioned that they'd moved out of the city and they've gone into the woods. I understand a bit more why that happened now because the show moved production from LA to Vancouver.
Okay. Yeah. Going up to where X-Files is.
Yeah.
I remember, I think X-Files was one of the first shows that Vancouver
Well, that's where
got
Arrow, Flash, all these shows film up there as well. There's a ton of production up in Vancouver.
So they're up there. Is it still? Does it still have the same tone or is it switched tones?
No, it's still the same tone. There's a little more deception and potential backstabbery coming down the line.
It's all right.
Because they've trimmed the cast down and they're focusing on
I see.
A smaller group of survivors. But there's also a major wrench thrown in the works that maybe some of the allegiances we thought we knew aren't quite what they were.
Oh, so there's a whole heap of back stuff going
on. Well, it seems that the invaders
that
we've been scared of for 2 years might have actually been on the run from something much worse.
Ooh.
And potentially came here to try and shore up defences and to establish an alliance to
and
fight back.
And it's gone completely haywire.
So if that does end up being, that's going to flip the script on everything we thought we knew of the show.
Yeah, right.
So it's a very exciting
that is exciting.
Being going for the season.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That show definitely has a... If they can continue this sort of storyline interest and intrigue, there's a few seasons
oh,
of quality in this.
Hell yeah.
Anything else you've been watching that isn't spoil worthy?
No.
Let's get into it then.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
Spoilers.
Should we get into Fear the Walking Dead first?
Let's do it.
I like this episode.
It was very introspective.
I like the fact that it was two people that we don't know very well. We'd obviously gotten an idea that these two had been together at some point in time before.
Can I say I picked that? season premiere. I was like, oh, she'll be his.
Yeah, Mrs. you did. You said that to me. I don't know if it was actually on the podcast where you went, that's who she is. The solitude and quietness of the environment that he set up for himself, Mr. John Dory himself, that's what I imagine most zombie apocalypse people doing.
Sure, it worked for Eastman.
Exactly.
This felt like Eastman Part 2, but, you know, I could feel Morgan's presence over it without him actually being in the episode.
Which was interesting.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, it did have a bit of a sepia tone to it, but it was a different one. It had a different colour than the Morgan episodes of Fear.
Yeah.
But it didn't have the brightness that the baseball people
had,
which only occurred to me just then. One thing that I couldn't figure out was why did the walkers have such interest in the hole in the bridge? I couldn't figure that out. They were obsessed with it.
It's got to be something to do with smell.
It's got
to
be.
You know, maybe they're the only humans around, so they're like a beacon or something. But
maybe.
It's just they were very interested in that one specific spot.
Interested. But I did like his little trench warfare setup going on, the defences. He had a lot of things set up around him, but it still felt quite open. It felt safe, but I would have been freaking out if it was me.
Good on him for watching movies.
I know! And writing down who'd borrowed them.
Yeah.
I thought that was amazing. I did like the fact that we still don't know what Jenna Elfman's character's motivation is completely.
No, we know she lost a child.
That's all we know.
That's all we know.
We knew she was a nurse from a couple of episodes ago, and now we know that she's been quietly helping people by putting the Glad wrap and the aluminium foil over near the medical supplies, because you've got to think laterally. I like the quietness of this episode with just the two of them.
What I really loved about this was that as someone with OCD,
yes,
this was an exercise in watching someone with OCD who has set up a system that's infallible for them and yet willingly break their system to introduce someone new.
He was very open to having someone.
He brought in chaos and was open to letting in chaos, which is something, you know, that OCD people really struggle with. So it was a very psychological episode in watching this character. You know, he'd obviously spent a few years at that point, at least a year, establishing that world.
There was solitude there,
and he had it locked down.
Organized solitude. You know,
checking out movies and writing on the wall, all these tiny little things that's him controlling his world and feeling safety from control.
Okay, so one bit that you've just made me think about was when we first saw her and he brought her into the house and he put her on the bed and she was really dirty and he's clean sheets.
Uh-huh. Do you think that bothered me? It sure as shit did.
Yes, I bet it did. But at the same time, because he's a gentleman, he wasn't going to remove her clothes.
No, he even asked for consent first.
Mm.
You know,
John Dory is probably the most fascinating character that we've had for a long time.
I'm really digging him.
In the Walking Dead universe.
I also love that the gunslinger aspect of his character turns out to just be something he did on the weekend for fun.
That's right. We thought there was some amazing backstory. He was a cop, but
he wants none of that Rick Grimes game.
No, exactly, which you don't want him to be the exact same character as Rick.
No.
And he's certainly not. Not at all. Now, what do you think of the relationship between John and Morgan? Where do you think it will progress from here? They're obviously going to be buddies for the rest of this season and hopefully going through.
I think they're both going to help each other. Yeah. And I think that's what we're going to learn through this. That they're two people that have put themselves on the line and tried to help others and change themselves and it hasn't panned out how they wanted. Morgan probably a lot more responsible for that outcome than John was for his own situation. But I think between the two of them, they're going to find a bit of comradeship.
In terms of mateship, they're good for each other, I think.
Yeah.
Quite different, but not different at the same time. What about Westworld? Did you manage to pick up that episode?
My mate that I watch with.
Yeah.
He texted me at 9:30 Monday night.
Who does that?
He doesn't text. He'll ring. He doesn't text me.
Right.
It was that good. He just texted me, holy shit balls.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to give too much away.
For the listeners, I would like to apologize that I haven't watched it. My daughter has been sick, throwing up violently.
It's been
a hard
week
for you. So I haven't been able to
sneak
over and go and watch it with my mate. We have the viewing party together.
There was an interesting thought I had about the show, which I touched on a little bit last week, in that season one was understanding the world and getting a some sort of conclusion at the end of season one as to what this world was, like an understanding.
Yep.
Season two could not go down that same path. Instead, they needed to open up and show you more of the outside world and how intertwined the outside world and Westworld is.
Sure.
And that's what they're doing. They're not going all the way out. They're going slightly out. It's almost like they're peeling layers off an onion or putting layers back on.
Are we in another part of the park? A different park?
Not yet.
Okay. Because I'm waiting for like...
The Japanese episode is next week.
Okay.
Yeah, they've already advertised it.
Sure.
So that'll be next week. But this one, there was a whole new aspect to what Westworld does.
Oh, okay.
That is going to be very interesting.
Awesome.
In going forward. I liked it, and I can't wait for you to watch it so that you can be like,
I may see it tonight, I may see it tomorrow.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy it. I can't wait. You'll get a lot out of it. Absolutely.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
One show I wanted to quickly check in on was Handmaid's Tale.
Sure.
Which was similar to Westworld in that season one was explaining what the world was and the restrictions and the need for people to want to get out. Obviously, it was a greater need for the people to want to get out in Handmaid's Tale because they knew the world outside previously. Mm-hmm. They knew the world was what we're living in, basically, until it got closed in on them. This one, they give you, and they give June, a taste of the outside world.
Ooh.
And then they shut it back down again. And that's what this season's going to be. If they had just let her explore the outside world for too long, it wouldn't have had the same stifling, oppressed feeling that Handmaid's Tale is. And we needed this episode so that we could get back into the closed world. And I think next episode, I haven't seen the preview, but I think maybe next episode or two, we're going to start being reintroduced to the drive of the people, the refugees in Canada, who want to help.
Okay. All right.
Because when we checked in on them, they were really about themselves. They weren't really like, hey, we're going to go and help June. Oh, Fred, we're going to get her. They were like, hey, this is our new world. This is where we're living now. I think now that we've checked in with her for a couple of episodes, we're going to go back to them and hopefully see a plan because we need a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel.
Yep.
Whether that light comes to anything yet, we don't, you know, who knows, but it'll be interesting to be able to see some sort of path, a plan.
Sure.
Love it. I really love it. Oh, so many good shows on at the moment.
Hey, spoiler warning for Mike Tyson Mysteries.
Go on.
Pigeon died.
No way. What?
Yeah. Well, actually, he faked his death to get out of some deals that he owed.
Hilarious.
It's so funny.
I bet it was.
They spent the whole episode mourning him, and then he revealed at the end that he'd actually just, like, tricked this actor.
Fake killed himself.
Well, he convinced an actor to take on the ultimate role and get facial reconstruction surgery and learn his voice so that the hitman could take him out instead.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah,
that show's crazy.
Really dark. Really, 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 really dark.
In the best possible way, though, because they got the comedy behind it.
It just makes me laugh so
hard. Oh, my goodness. Are we ready to get into a quiz?
Yeah.
This quiz is a bit different because Hayley sent an email in.
Thanks, Hayley.
I don't know where she's from, but that's okay. She's from the email.
She's from parts unknown.
Exactly. She said, how about a slightly different quiz, an either-or quiz, like Coke or Pepsi sort of thing? And I thought, you know, we could both do that.
Yeah.
So she didn't come up with anything apart from the example of Coke and Pepsi.
Okay.
I don't know, Coke?
Pepsi.
Okay, fair enough. So we've got a few others. Text or call?
Oh, that's a tough one. That's depending on who I'm talking to.
It really is, but I would probably say 70% of my life is texting.
Yeah, I'd say about the same.
Yeah. If there's too much information that needs to get passed back and forth, it's a call.
Yep.
but texting sort of.
If I need the intonation and proper context for what's being said, then I will call.
Yeah.
Because I will stress over an errant full stop in a text.
Yeah, fair enough. It's all about the context. Yeah. Summer or winter?
Winter.
Yeah, me too. Winter. Obviously, Sydney winter.
Yeah, give me them hoodies.
I mean, if it was a Winnipeg winter, I don't know if I'd cope. Mm. I don't know if I'd be all right with that. Holidaying overseas or in Australia?
Oh, overseas.
Yeah, I know a lot of people say you got to see your own country first before. No, there's that level of excitement when you go overseas.
Yeah.
It's a whole new different culture.
You grow as a person.
Exactly.
I've seen plenty of Australia.
I wouldn't say I've seen plenty, but I've seen enough that I've ticked places off, and then there are places I still have interest in going to.
Sure, I think WA is all I got left.
I haven't been to Tasmania.
Oh, Tassie's great.
Everyone's
they have a cherry cider.
Oh, I love cherry cider.
It's so good.
All right, that'll be my next one. Mm. Twisties or burger rings?
Burger rings.
Oh, twisties.
Not a moment's hesitation there.
Even chicken I'm happy with.
Oh, if I'm going twisties, chicken all the way.
Really?
Cheese ones, yeah, you can shelve them.
Okay.
Get them out of you.
Yeah, really? Star Wars or Star Trek? Star Wars.
Trek.
Seriously? Okay, can I ask you this question? Yeah. Can we go back in time to before you saw The Last Jedi? I thought so. Finally, superpower. Would you have the ability to fly or to turn invisible? They're the only two options. I want to fly. Those flying dreams are so amazing. I've got to fly.
I'm going invisible.
Tactically, invisibility would probably... You would use it more often.
It's got a wider variety of uses.
See, the problem with me in flying, in the dreams, some of the flying dreams I have, I can only fly at night because I don't want people to see that I've got the ability.
Sure.
Where I guess with invisibility.
That's the thing. If you can fly, then all of a sudden you upend civilization and everyone's looking at you and wants answers. The government's going to be chasing you to cut you up. Find out your genes and all this sort of stuff. You go invisible. Who knows?
Who knows? Exactly.
Hang out with Frodo and Harry Potter.
And Chevy Chase, who was Mr. Invisible in the 1980s, maybe?
Yeah, Claude Rains. Bust out the old Invisible Man. All the good gear.
So good. Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Tom, it has been a pleasure.
Hoodie-hoo!
Heidi-hi.